And we are going to have a great time here this morning. How many ready to have fun around a round table? Okay, a few of us. So our series right now is Relationship Roundtable. And I said last week, you need to imagine there's a round table. And somebody came up to me and said, but there is a round table. It just looks like this. And so we'll get it out of the way. But we are going to have a great conversation this morning about speaking life. Now, if I know we're passing out some notes. We want to encourage you to take notes as we go this morning. And I just want to start out with an opening question that I want you to think about. And that is this. If you could change one thing about your world, what would it be? Now, just so you know, this is not a political question. This is not, you know, like world peace. I'm just saying about your world, your life, the things that you're a part of. If you could change one thing about your world, what would it be? And I want you to think about that and write it down. Because this morning we want to think about this idea of speaking life. Now, last week we began this roundtable by talking about the importance of growing our love. And we noted how our capacity to love impacts the strength of our connections. Well, today we're going to talk about this topic of communication. And if loving helps grow our capacity to or strengthens the relationships, one of the essential or foundational skills is actually learning how to communicate. And the big idea we're going to think around this morning is simply this, is that our words are shaping our world. That our words are shaping our world. And actually, this idea is a biblical idea, and it actually goes back to the very first book of the Bible. If you remember, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, now the earth formless and empty, and darkness hovered over the waters. And then it goes on to say, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That God spoke, and his words began to shape a world. And it's amazing because he creates this amazing world with the words that he speaks. When you get toward the end of the chapter, God says this, let us make man, let us make humans in our image and in our likeness. And as a consequence of it, the words that we use actually shape the environments that we're a part of. How many know that our words are actually shaping the homes that we get to live in? That our words are actually shaping the church that we are? Our words shape the places that we work. Our words shape our world. And this is a huge and important idea. And again, this is a biblical idea. We find this found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And I believe we have it for the screen, right? Yes, and look what it says. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. Now, we know that when God spoke, he spoke, and at the end of each moment, it said, and he says, it is good. And there's a goodness that his words brought to creation. Now, as people who have this sin nature that we wrestle with because of our rebellion against God, because of the brokenness of humanity, our words can build our world up, or our words can break our world. And we see this in our lives. And sometimes the scripting that we have inside of us is actually a consequence of words that have been spoken to us. Now, how many of you here this morning, you have moments where you talk to yourself? Come on, how many know sometimes best conversation all day? Right? You're like going, good night. It's good to be able to speak to somebody who is emotionally sound, or at least, you know, mentally sound. That's what happens when I talk to myself. I'm like going, this is a really good conversation, Dave, right? Like we talk to ourselves. And how many of you, like, in just as you go through life, like there are words that have been spoken to you, and it may be all the way back in your childhood or youth that have affected the script that you say. What you understand and what you say about yourself. There are some people who have grown up in environments where they have heard parents speak things over them, you know, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're worthless. And it affects the scripting as we go forward. You're not good enough. You're not loved. You're not wanted. And that scripting we wrestle with. And this is what we need to understand. Our words are powerful, And they're actually shaping the world that we inhabit. And it's not just the words that other people say. How many know sometimes in talking to ourselves, we say things about ourselves that begin to shape and affect how it is we function in our world? But not only does the Bible teach us that our words are powerful, the second thing that I want to get to, principle that I want you to understand real quickly is this, is that ultimately we are responsible for our words. That not only are our words powerful, we are responsible for our words. So this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I tell you, Jesus said, that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, I think this is a really important passage because what it reminds us of is the fact that, you know what, we actually have to give an account to God for the words that we say. And the reason we give an account for our words is because we are responsible for our words. Now, there are times we can get in heated moments or we can have encounters with individuals and it can cause us to say things we wish we wouldn't say. How many have had those moments? Boy, if they weren't such a jerk, I wouldn't have said this. But ultimately, this is what we all need to understand. Not only are our words powerful, but we are responsible for our words. You see, our words are shaping our world. And it brings me back to the question, what kind of world do we want to create? What kind of world do we want to create? It goes back to the very first question I asked you. If you could change one thing about your world, what would it be? And see, when we begin to understand the power of our words, then we'll begin to understand that, you know what, we can actually begin to shape the worlds that we're a part of. And this is why learning how to communicate is so very important. So Paul, when he was writing the Ephesian church, and we have this verse for the screen as well, and this is a great verse because it says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. Everybody say helpful. Only what is helpful for building others up. Now watch, this is my favorite part. That's why I highlighted it. According to your need. Right? Is that what it says? According to, how many know there's times you just feel you need to say it? Like, boy, I just need to tell them this. We all have that. Paul's like, guys, listen, if you're actually going to live the life that God's called you to, you have to recognize words are powerful, you're responsible for them, and you need to make sure that you're using your words in such a way that you're building others up according to their needs so that it would benefit, that it may benefit those who listen. So this morning, we are going to have a discussion around the idea of speaking life. And so I want to invite those who are going to be joining me for this conversation this morning, come on up. We have Pastor Adam and Ashley, and Rachel's going to be joining as well. And we're just going to kind of talk through this idea of conversations. Now, I think there's a slide that has my phone number on it. If you'd like to text in, if you have thoughts, ideas that you'd like to share, just text it on in. And we're going to go through some different things. But just going to ask a bunch of questions. And we're going to think through some things. And I want to encourage you, we're going to give you some really good ideas that you'll want to take notes on. Believe me, it's really, really good. And it's going to be helpful, right? So give it up. So this is fun. So Ashley, is this a little out of your comfort zone?
Yes.
This is so much fun. Adam, is this outside your comfort zone?
No.
Not at all. But Ashley, so it's so much fun. I'm so proud of Adam and Ashley for being willing to do this, and my precious bride. And so just so you know, when it comes to communication, how many know there are no experts? How many of you here are an expert on communication? Right? Yeah, Ed. Yeah. That's not Amy. That's not what Amy was saying. I'm just kidding. So, we think about that there are no experts, and this is actually something we can all grow and work and just become better in. And so we're going to begin with a few questions. I got to get on the right page. Okay, here we go. So we ready to begin? You got your microphones? This is going to be fun. Take a deep breath. Here's our first question. Okay. So we've talked about how words are powerful. Let me ask you, how have the words of others influenced your self-talk? And not only that, how is the grace of God helping you re-script? Because I think this is a really important question to begin to deal with, because we're all shaped by words. So we'll begin with you, Adam. Real quickly, how have the words of others influenced your self-talk?
So when I was a child, I had family members that would speak into my life. Some spoke good things, some spoke less than good things. One thing that kind of became a recurring theme was I was labeled as lazy as a child. And that stuck with me, and after being told that enough, I started telling myself. And after you tell yourself long enough, that's what you become. So I was lazy. I became lazy. I knew I was lazy. That was just it. It wasn't until God graced me with a wonderful wife that she held me accountable for the words that I was saying to myself and what I was doing to myself. And I learned that other people don't determine what I am. I don't even really do that. God tells me what I am. And that helped me reframe that I'm not lazy. Lazy tendencies, maybe, but not lazy.
That's right. Well, and I think it's an interesting word that you use is labeled lazy. Okay, how many know that in our culture there's lots of labeling that goes on, and those labels stick with people, and then they begin to live out the label. And I think that that's a really important thing that we need to be mindful of, is what our, to be mindful of the labels that we're giving. But that's a great... thanks for sharing that. I know this is not an easy question to have to sit up here and share this one. So, but just to make it more difficult and awkward, we'll throw it to Ashley. I'm just kidding. So, Ashley, what about you? How have the words of others influenced your self-talk, and how is the grace of God helping you re-script?
So similar to what Adam said, my growing up years, kind of like those foundational years where you kind of like learn who you are, they were just all negative information thrown at me. And so I grew up believing them, but through God's grace, you know, he's given opportunities and people, and, you know, we have scripture who tell a completely different story. And so with the work of the Holy Spirit empowering me to... take those negative things one by one and just re-flip them into a narrative that, you know, speaks life. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I like how you mentioned that both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as graces that help us with this re-scripting, because there's something that the world can speak about us, but what does God speak about us, and allowing that then to become foundational for our stuff. Good. Rachel, what about you?
So I would say we actually, as a women's group, we just talked about this at our last women's thing with this, the Church of the Small Things. And it talks about how the small things in life actually are big things. And the chapter we just did was a word fitly spoken, and how words have such a profound impact on us. And at the time, sometimes we don't think they have that big of an impact, but we kind of absorb them and take them in. And one of the things that I remember that was just quickly spoken to me as a child was I had my hair pulled back in a ponytail. And you know how we all go through awkward years of growing, and so we don't all... we're not all put together, right? And so I was probably only 6 or 7 years old, but I remember this so distinctly, where someone said to me, "Oh, you shouldn't wear your hair back. Your ears stick out." And I just took that and held on to it and was like, "I can't wear my hair back because my ears stick out." And so I would always wear my hair down and long because I was so aware of that. Well, it was an awkward stage I was going through, right? My ears changed. They went back in, like it all fit, right? But I took that word and held on to it. And sometimes we can take the negative words that people say to us. And we talked about this in the book on the last Saturday one, was that we remember a greater percentage of negative things that are spoken to us more than the positive. And the positive sometimes we just set to the side, and the negative we accept as truth when really we need to flip that narrative.
Yeah. And just so you know, this issue of scripting is really huge. And so I'm even starting to get texts on it. And this idea of reframing or rescripting actually takes a lot of time. It's not a switch that goes on and off. It's actually something that you have to work at over time. And this is why we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because these things have been spoken into our lives, and they've kind of shaped how it is that we function through life. And so one person just notes that, you know, it takes time. And like debt, like getting out of debt, it's not something that necessarily happens overnight. Someone else mentioned that how, this is a question they ask, how after you feel that those labels define you, can you get rid of them and to help not focus on the negative that people have told you, right? So let me ask you, so what for you has been helpful in that rescripting, or what would you add to the individual who's asking, like, so how do you begin to undo some of these labels? How do you begin to work through it? Anybody want to take that?
Well, I just think it does take time, and it is reevaluating, like Adam said, that he had to look at, what does God say about me? Like, what is the truth? And I shared this at the women's thing, that I recently just had this happen to me, where someone called me on the phone and said things, and I was so livid. And after I got off the phone, I went to Dave and I said, no, 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 right? Like, this
isn't
just
like that.
Yeah, I was like, this is, and I was like, how dare they say that? That's not true. And that's what I needed, was for Dave to say to me, and we need these people in our lives also to reevaluate. And he stopped me and he said, but Rachel, what they said, is that true? And I was like, no, it's not true. And he was like, exactly. What they said is not true. And so I had to take it and say, you know what? That individual is a hurt individual, and they are using their words to hurt me. And I don't have to take those words. I don't have to accept those words. And remembering those things and saying, what is the truth? What is the truth? And is that true? And evaluating. And sometimes maybe what they're saying, there might be some truth to it. And then being able to say, okay, let's evaluate that in a more positive way than the way they gave it to me. But then also looking at the taking the things that people say and remembering who's saying them to you, and then reevaluating, is that true? And if not, then I don't need to accept those words as truth to me.
That's right. Good. Were you going to add something, Ashley? I didn't know if you were, because I thought you were getting ready to share, so I didn't want to.
I think the only thing that I would add is, like, you have a choice on whether or not you choose to continue to believe those things, or you have a choice to pray and, like, use the scripture and the Holy Spirit to help you change your mind to believe that you are a person with value, you are enough, you aren't those things that you were labeled as. So that's all I was really gonna say.
Well, and I think the two things that you guys bring up are so important. Number one, hurt people hurt people. And we live in a broken world, and so people share from their brokenness. And so you have to be careful, because some of what you're being labeled as or scripted as is from someone's brokenness. And this is why we get our identity from who God says we are. If you read through scripture, what God continually does to individuals throughout scripture is change their name. And wherever there's a change of name, how many know a name is in a sense a label? Changing name, changing identity, and we have to allow God's identity to shape who we are, because that foundation actually gives us a way by which we can serve other people rather than what it is that other people say. And so I think this is a really big thing, because all of us are sharing, or we're all communicating from a place. And we need to say, God, we need your grace to meet us where we're at so we can actually improve our communication, because, like I said, words are powerful and we're also responsible for our words.
Can I explain?
Yeah, please.
So I just want to expound on the choice thing a little bit, because like God places people in your life that will speak life into you. And so part of that choice is receiving the words, the positivity that they give you as well. Like, it's super easy to receive the negativity that people are speaking at you, but God will also give you people who will speak life into you. But you have to kind of choose to receive those for yourself. So
that's great. You have to choose to receive, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, I think that's so good. Now, I want to kind of continue to move the conversation forward, because, again, this is a really big thing. And I would just encourage you, like, even as you're working through your notes, what is some of the scripting in your heart? What are some of the labels that you wrestle with? Like to identify, what are some of those things, you know, that self-talk that can kind of sabotage how you do? What does that look like for you? And then really to bring it before God and allow His Word and Spirit to help you manage that stuff, because that's not who you are. And we need that place of healing, His grace to heal us, so that we can actually function and that we can actually communicate better, so that we're not perpetuating hurting people. Does that make sense? All right, next question that I want to think about is this. So as we think about communication, so we've talked a little bit about, we got some pieces we have to work through. So as we kind of expand beyond that, what do you feel is important for good conversation? Like for good communication, to communicate well, what do you think is important in order for communication to in a sense be successful? So I'm going to get in with you, Adam.
All right.
Go
all right.
For it.
All right. So a couple of things that I think that are vital for good communication is, one, clarity. Knowing what you're saying, what the other person is saying, really kind of making that connection, understanding, maybe sounding back to them so they know what you're thinking, you hear them say, if that makes sense. So clarity in communication is super important because... Yeah, anyways, we'll talk about that. And then the other thing is just that honesty and that vulnerability when you're communicating with somebody. Because I have a tendency sometimes to respond in a way that I think I should respond to somebody, but it's not always the way that I want to respond to somebody. So just being open and vulnerable when appropriate in communicating with other people.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. So clarity and then honesty / vulnerability. Because I like how you talked about sometimes you give the answer that someone else wants. Anybody here ever have those moments? See, you get all the people who raise their hands were like, yeah, I didn't want to say that, but yes, that's no, I'm just kidding. So, but there's this aspect, right, that we have to be, if we're going to communicate well, we have to communicate around clarity, and then not only that, being honest and being vulnerable in what it is we're sharing. What about you, Ashley? What do you think is important for good communication?
So I'll just echo the clarity that Adam said, but along with that, like, you can't assume that people know something. You have to, like, state it. Like, you can't just assume that, like, your spouse or, you know, if you're a child or if you're a parent, that your child knows what you're expecting of them. So, like, again, you have to know who you're talking to. But also, don't talk in absolutes. So that's kind of like saying you always or they always, and so that hinders communication because it doesn't give the other person or group of people the ability to have a growth mindset, because they always do it, so why bother, you know, having that ability to flip what they do or change what they do. So
that's awesome. I like the idea of helping people develop a growth mindset, right, rather than locking into the absolute. It's great. What about you, Rachel? What is important for good communication?
So I think that for me personally, I'm a detail-oriented person, so I love the details. If you, and we talked about this earlier, I don't like surprises. And so if I'm expected to do something, or just give me the details of what I, and I'll follow through on those. But so details are important to me. So communicating and sometimes the over communication of just giving details helps me personally. And then I know we're going to get into further things, but just in the environment in which you're having a conversation is important as well.
Yeah, being mindful of the spaces that you're occupying. Yeah, and I think this is, for me, part of it is identifying what is the goal of communication. Is the goal of communication just speaking your piece? What is the goal of communication? And so I remember reading a number of years ago, the goal of communication is understanding. Like what we want to do is we want to create understanding between people. And for that, we have to learn how do we communicate in deeper ways. And so I have a slide that I want to have thrown up here because I think that in being intentional about a good conversation, we have to be willing and strategic about taking conversations deeper. And so I want to just share real quickly five levels of communication. So the first level of communication is just cliche conversation. So this is, for example, in the conversation, you got to understand, a conversation generally goes through phases to get deeper, right? And so the cliche conversation is something like, you know, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Have you ever heard people who are just like, you know, totally like going, oh, they're asking me how I'm doing, but they don't really care how I'm doing? And I know some people get all worked up about it, but you have to understand that's just the opening move in the conversation. And people need to work through stages. And so cliche conversation or questions about the weather. Hey, how you doing? Good, good, good. Hey, what do you think of the weather? We are getting way too much snow, right? And all of us, we don't really care about the weather, but it's just kind of like, okay, we're working our way into a conversation. And so you need to be mindful of this because sometimes people aren't mindful of conversations, and so they act in conversations inappropriately. So if someone comes up to you and they're just kind of doing this cliche stuff, hey, how you doing? And you back the truck up, and then you unload all your emotional stuff, and the person's sitting there kind of like freaking out, like, I need to get apples, right? And so part of it is understanding where the conversation is at and how to take it deeper. So cliche is the first one. The next level of communication is actually fact reporting. Hey, what you doing today? Hey, so what did you do today? Well, I did this. And it's a statement of fact. It's a, hey, I'm going to the store. What do you need me to get? It's a statement of fact. And so the next level, so cliche is one. The next is where you're dealing with facts. The fact reporting. The third one is opinions and judgments. Now, as you go down this list, you're actually making yourself more vulnerable. Now, in a room like this, let me ask, does anybody here have any opinions? Any judgments? Hey, who wants to talk politics? And everyone's like, no, let's go back to fact reporting. Like, you ever had those moments where there's an opinion or a judgment, you're like, oh, I don't really know if I want to share it, and it's because it actually requires more vulnerability, and often we may get to that place and we can share it, but we don't want to go too much further. Now, just generally, and I speak in a gross generalization, this is where men generally end conversations. They end them at the point of opinions and judgments. They're okay with sharing opinions and judgments, but when you start going into something that's deeper, which has to do with feelings, all of a sudden, guys can feel uncomfortable about talking about feelings, and so they bring the conversation back up just to opinions and judgments. And this is really important because if we're gonna actually communicate better, we actually have to learn to talk about different things. And so good communication actually involves a willingness to go deeper, and with that also empathetic listening. And see, this is where understanding takes place, where you begin to not only know what the other person is saying, but you're beginning to understand some of the emotional resonance that what it is that they're dealing with. And this is how you take communication deeper. And it's not just something that happens between husbands and wives. It happens between parents and kids. It happens with people at work, people wherever you're going. And so part of it is being aware that if you're going to communicate well, you have to be intentional about going deeper. Does that make sense? And so I think that as we talk about good communication, I think all of these things are just so important because the strength of our relationships is connected to our communication. Which leads me to the third question. I got to get on the right page now. Question three. Oh, here it is. What hinders? So we got, this is what helps communication. Let me ask you this. What hinders good communication? What are communication barriers? Like, so we recognize we need to communicate. We're working with our script stuff. We've talked a little bit about that. Talked about what is important for good communication. But what are those things that keep us from communicating, whether it's deeper, whether it's, you know, not wanting to be honest or transparent? What for you are some of the barriers that we deal with? And so we'll begin with you, Ashley. She's like all panicked. Oh, no. She's doing great.
So for me personally, I tend to let my emotions and my unwillingness to become uncomfortable and vulnerable hijack the conversations that I need to have to be able to grow that relationship that conversation needs to be had in. And so in some of that is just habitual, like it's just become a habit of mine. And so I find that I have to acquire skills or new techniques to kind of break that habit. And so something silly that Adam and I have done, so we watched The Office, and
that's confession.
Sorry.
We'll have her later.
One of the seasons, Jim and Pam, they're a couple in the show, they were having some communication issues, and so they started saying, I hear you saying blah, 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 and then they would say, and I appreciate blah, 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 blah. And so Adam and I were like, oh, that's just kind of funny. Let's do that. And so we just started to do that, and even though it was silly, it kind of broke some of that habitual conversation that we were having, and it was able to kind of push us along a little bit further and deepening communication with each other, because it was silly, but we were still communicating in a way that we weren't able to do before because it was just fun. And
yeah,
it was different.
Yeah, because you got out of the routine of what you usually do. Yeah. Sometimes you have to do something different to get somewhere different, mm-hmm. right? Which I think is a great thing. And so all of us, like in how we communicate, sometimes we have to try something different. And it doesn't have to be ridiculously serious. It can be even something corny and fun like, what I hear you say is, and I appreciate, right? Good. Now, what about you, Rachel? Communication barriers. What are some of the things that kind of hinder good communication?
So I think one of them is our busy schedules that we have, in that we have very busy schedules, and so we can kind of pass in the night of the people that we live with. And so that can hinder communication. And also our own, going back to our own scripting, can sometimes hinder our relationships and our communication skills. So for me, I'm an internal processor, and Dave is an external processor. And so I have a tendency to kind of stuff everything down and think about it for a long time. And I can have conversations in the mirror that I would love to have with someone else, but I'm internally working it out, right? And so sometimes I can think, well, I've had this whole conversation and I have solved this whole problem right here. And it hasn't been communicated in the right way to the people that it needs to be. And so being able to recognize our own personalities and what we need to do to grow in better communication skills. And so our own learning what our own personalities help us to be able to communicate
Absolutely.
With the people that we need to also.
Absolutely. So barrier can be busyness. Sometimes the barrier can be just our own personalities and the way we process things. What about you, Adam?
Well, I was going to talk about busyness, but you covered that, so we're good. But another thing is kind of back onto like early childhood stuff or stuff that happens in the past. Previous hurts, like for myself, when I would be vulnerable as a younger person, child, teen, young adult, with certain people that I trusted, and then that vulnerability actually opened a door for them, and then I was hurt in a way, maybe by a word they said or some sort of treatment after the fact. It made it very difficult, and it's still hard for me, and I still have to work on it. of being vulnerable in conversation with people, because I naturally don't want to do that because through history I know it hurts,
yeah.
Or it can hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another thing where yesterday can impact our today. And the way we're psychologically built is we don't like pain. And so the moment we approach something that's painful or has been painful in the past, we often pull back. And so what it does is our past hurts can be a lid for our relational capacity. And that's why it's so important that we allow the work of God in us, especially through forgiveness and stuff like that, actually releases us to actually love in a better way. Now, I want everybody to kind of feedback on, I got a comment from somebody in the room about improving communication, and they say this, that communication isn't only about speaking, but also listening, all right? If you don't receive the message, then you aren't really communicating. So help me real quick, what has been beneficial for you? Because I think that's a great one. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, as opposed to quick to speak, slow to listen, which is generally how we function. That's in James. What has been for you helpful skills or helpful things to be a better listener? All right? And so just so you know, I have some internal processes on the stage, so I have to kind of talk a little bit longer, give them some thinking space, right? And so we have listening. So how can we listen? How can we improve our capacity to listen? So what has been helpful for you? We'll bring in with you, Adam.
All right. So one thing that is helpful, at least for me, is not listening with the intent to reply.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Because a lot of times we can, and I've done it before, somebody's talking, you're listening, okay, so in that point I would say this. So they said this, and I'll respond with this. So I'm spending my time while they're talking, hearing what they're saying, but really I'm just formulating a rebuttal or a response to what they're saying, because that's what you do, right? You respond to people. But while hearing them, I'm not listening to what they're saying. I'm not actually taking in the information. I'm just trying to create a response to it. So slowing down in the conversation, listening to what they're saying, spending time, okay, so they're saying this. Got it. I wonder what that makes them feel. And then you just kind of work it through it and really pay attention to the words they're saying.
That's great. Good. Listening, not formulating the response, slowing it down. Good. What about you, Ashley? How do you help improve listening?
So I have to make eye contact usually to like make sure that I'm hearing the words, because sometimes I can be distracted, or like if my phone is nearby, I have to like flip it over just so that I can like give that person my full attention.
No, that's a great one, because how many know that our phones can be a little distracting when it comes just having them near? Like, yeah, you want to add to that or
and
something
else? The other thing is like sometimes when someone's talking to me, if I am on my phone and I'm like texting somebody, I have to say, hold on, I need to finish this thought, because I can't divide my attention right now.
Yep.
So I'll say, could you just give me 1 second so I could finish this thought, and then my attention is all yours. So I just make sure that I communicate, like, I cannot give you my attention right now, but just give me a moment and you'll have it all.
That's so great. Absolutely. That's great. Creating some space so you can finish something so you can give it attention. Good. What about you, Rachel?
I was just saying the listening thing is also evaluating, like, I agree with Adam. Sometimes I can be formulating in my head what I'm going to respond to them or what I'm thinking instead of actually slowing down and listening to what they're actually saying. I think we can do this with conversations that we have, our children or our spouse or our coworker, whatever, any of them, that as they're speaking to us, sometimes we are forming our own thing, but then also really looking at and listening with ears of what are they saying, and being able to respond to what they're saying. So if they're speaking something, am I in a place where I'm receiving what they're saying? Are they speaking the truth about me? Like, or are they speaking the truth that is, are they speaking something that's different than my opinion? And am I in a place of being willing to hear that opinion and accept that judgment, or like, and to have those ears that are listening, and not the judgment wall of, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, so dealing with the judgment wall, I think that's really good, because judgment walls can help us, can hinder us from really hearing. The things that I would add to the whole listening thing is ask, don't assume, right? So how many know that in any relationship or any communication, there's a lot of stuff we're assuming, right? We can be assuming that we actually have the same definitions. We did that last week with love. We can assume we know what they're feeling. And so instead of assuming, you have to ask. To be a good listener, ask good questions. Not, you know, like, hey, help me understand. The other piece is to reflect back or to feedback. And I think you kind of mentioned this before, Adam, about what I hear you say is, am I hearing correctly? Because what we have to do to get to understanding, we're not only sharing our stuff, but we have to listen back from them. And sometimes just asking the simple question, okay, this is what I've gotten so far. Am I somewhere near it, right? Because I think that helps us work through some of these things. And as some people have noted, not everybody wants a conversation to go deeper. And just so you know, we'll talk about some of this stuff next week when we begin to deal with conflict. Because conflict is just really communication that's emotionally jacked. So we'll deal with some of that next week. So there's this aspect of being an intentional or a good listener. Let me ask you another question real quick. So any other ideas? So we've dealt with some barriers. How can we improve our communication? So are there any other nuggets that you have on how we can improve our communication? Adam, we'll start with you.
I think perspective helps a lot, like our perspective of the person we're communicating with. There was obviously people in my life at some point that had a perspective that I was lazy, and God doesn't call me lazy. I'm not lazy. But if God views me that way, God loves me that way, he loves the people I'm talking to the same way. Mm-hmm. So my perspective on the person needs to be in an appropriate light of, this is somebody that God made, God loves, God has purpose for, there's value there. So that will, if I keep my perspective good, that will influence how I speak to people.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. If we don't see dignity in the other person, we're not going to treat them with dignity, right? And so that's why we have to be intentional about our perspective. Like the people that bother you in life, are they valuable enough in your perspective that you can have a good conversation with them, right? I think that's great. Ashley, what about you?
So I've already mentioned I could be slightly distracted, but I could also be very forgetful sometimes. And so over communication is something that's super helpful for me. So it's kind of like the diaper bag scenario. Oh, did you grab the diaper bag? Oh, no, I didn't grab the diaper bag. You grabbed the diaper bag. I thought you grabbed it. No, I didn't grab it. I thought you grabbed it. And so if you're just over communicating, even if you thought you already said it, say it again, because maybe you didn't, right? And so that's super helpful because you covered the basics that needed to be covered. And if you live with somebody who's forgetful, you reminded them. So it's just super helpful. And then the only other thing that I would mention would be you don't always need to say something. So just, again, be mindful of who you are, who you're talking to, and the environment, and just sometimes you don't have to say it, so.
Yeah. Sometimes the good response, is no response. There's wisdom in that at times. Rachel.
I was just going to say the scripture in Luke saying, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's in our heart will come out. And our thoughts can become our words. And so in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever thing is honest, and it goes through a whole litany of things that our thoughts are. And so thinking good thoughts and whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things, because our thoughts become our words. And so thinking good thoughts or just being positive in our communication is good. We talk about how we receive negative and we hold on to the negative more than we t- take in the positive. So let's be people who speak words of positivity before we do the negative.
Absolutely. I think that's great. I think is the thing that I would just add is that when we're trying to communicate well, I think there's five things we need to consider. And so I know I'm the pastor, so I get to do my five things. But these are really good, so you should write them down. Every time you're having a conversation, there's five things you should consider. Number one, what is the message? What is it that I'm trying to say? And sometimes we're not sure what our idea is. We may be feeling stuff. We may be some loose ideas. But have we taken time to define the message? What is the message that needs to be communicated? That's one. We also need to consider the messenger. So if you have a message that you need to share, that makes you the messenger. And as a messenger, you need to be mindful both of who you are and how you are. How many know we all have a personality, and our personality influences the way we communicate? So Rachel was talking about how she's an internal processor. That's a function of personality. I'm an external processor, and that's a function of my personality, and I need to understand that and understand how it is that I'm wired, how it is that I work through these things. Not only that, but how I am. Am I hungry? Am I tired? How many know that if you're hungry or tired, it's going to affect your conversation, right? And you need to be mindful of it, because if not, sometimes what you're doing is you're actually acting out of how you are rather than trying to have a good conversation. You're just kind of like reacting to the stuff around you. So a good conversation, be mindful of the message, the messenger. And then another word that I would like to introduce to the English language, because it's Google doesn't have it, but that's okay. And that's the word messengee. Okay, so I got all these issues. I like alliteration. So a messenger and a messengee. You have an employer, you have an employee. It's the one who's receiving the message. The person that you're speaking to, it's helpful for you to know who they are and how they are, because how many know that their ability to receive your message is impacted both by who they are and how they are. As parents, right, as a parent, my kids experienced communication differently. If when it came to correcting our kids, some things that you would need to do just to get on the radar for like Samantha or Jonathan, if you brought that thing to Emily, like Emily could just raise your eyebrow and she just melts down, right? You're like going, oh, I have to be mindful of how I'm communicating because of who she is, right? So we have to be mindful of the message, the messenger, the messengee. We have to be mindful of the medium. What's the space that we're in? What's going on? I know sometimes that we're distracted by the medium, and to have the conversation we need to, we actually have to adjust the medium, maybe delaying it. We might have to, you know, put the phone over. We need to, so that we can actually have the conversation that needs to be had. So you need to be mindful of the medium. And with that, I know sometimes, like this is Football Sunday. How many know football? We're going to watch a bunch of it. How many know trying to prove whether your spouse has value, if you're valuable to him, when you interrupt him and he's watching his football game and he's so attentive to that you're like going, he mustn't love me. That's a medium issue. You're just dumb, right? Like this isn't the time to have do you really love me.
Well, it's being respectful, right?
Yeah, like respectful. Like, that's the word, respectful.
Yes, it's being dumb. Respectful. So like you can't choose to have a conversation.
She cleans you're up my you're messes just all the time.
No,
it's so good.
No, I'm just saying, you know, like if you're really going to try and have a conversation, don't bring it up during his football game. It's just respectful, right?
Game.
Or hockey game,
come
right?
On now. Preach.
So like instead, maybe if you want to have a good conversation, in saying, "Hey, so like I'd really like to talk to you. When would be a good time?" Like, when would be a good time for us to talk about this? I know not right now it's not going to work, so when would be a good time would be a better way.
That is a better
to
way.
Have a good mode of communication.
So we need to be mindful of the message, the messenger, the messengee, the medium, and the last one that I would note is the mode of communication. This is how we communicate. So for example, this is the idea of choosing the best vehicle for communication. So if I was going to the coffee bar, what's the best mode to get to the coffee bar? Yeah, car, definitely, right? Like, it's get up and walk. if I was trying to go home, the best vehicle to do that could be a car, a bike, you know, depending on what the day is, right? If I'm trying to go see my daughter in Seattle, what's the best mode? Because the destination you're getting to, you need to be mindful of what's the best mode of communication. And the reason I do this is because sometimes we are trying to communicate with people with terrible vehicles, okay? So let me just give you this. This is my other slide that I got up here, which is the percentages of communication. Did you know that when you communicate, your message, only 7% of it is tied to the words themselves? It's actually really small, which is the words. Your tone actually communicates more than your words. How many know you can say the right words, but with the wrong tone, right? So as parents, we were really, really mindful of this. And so when it came to our kids, we're just like going, hey guys, watch your tone. Because tone matters, right? Because it's not just what's being said, but it's how it's being said. And so what are the best vehicles, not only for words, tone, but the other thing is body language. And you'll note that the percentage of communication that is body language is more than tone and words combined. You may not realize this, but your primary organ for hearing isn't your ears. It's your eyes. And this is so important because in the generation and in the culture that we're a part of, you don't know how many times people are trying to have significant conversations with the wrong vehicle. How many know texting is a terrible mode to have a great conversation? How many know if you've got an issue with your spouse, texting is the worst, one of the worst vehicles for it? And the reason is because texting is what?
Fact-finding.
It is all words. What is missing?
Tone
and the body language nonverbals. Do you know what your brain does when those are missing? They fill them in, makes it up. I don't know how many, can you imagine, could you believe what he just texted me? Can you believe what he just texted me? Oh my goodness. And they're like, and they get all this emotion to it. And you're like going, they said they're going to be home at 7, right? And you're just like going, but I hear it, right? And it's all just made up. Right, so significant conversations should not be done via text. Even by phone, it's not great because phone will give you words and tone, but it doesn't always give you body language. And that's why if you want to have great conversations, you need to be mindful not only of the message, messenger, message, messengee, medium, but also the mode. Does that make sense? And again, it's communication that really helps us do what we're called to do, or to do relationship well. Again, your words are shaping your world. And our words are powerful. Like, our communication is far more impressive and powerful than you imagine. And so you have to be super intentional and careful of this, because not only are words powerful, but you are responsible for your words. You are responsible for them. And we all get to give an account to God one day for our words, for our communication. And part of it is saying, okay, God, would you help me be disciplined about this now? Because our words are shaping our world. Now, I'm going to give the panel just a final opportunity to provide any extra comment that they'd like to add, and then we're going to wrap it up here. But what was the opening question that I asked you? Do you remember? What was the opening question? If you could change one thing about your world, what would it be? Here's just a thought. Begin to change your language, change your words about that thing, and see how it begins to change your world for better. Like, if you want your marriage to improve, change your communication, your words about the marriage. If you want to parent better, how to do that. If you want your job to improve, your words, because your words are shaping your world. So as we get ready to close, any final closing thoughts from the panel here? Jump in, Adam.
All right. So the only thing that I would want to just reiterate on is, one, like with the thing that we did from the office, trying something that you're not used to in communicating to try to communicate better. Don't be afraid to try something a little bit different, because you never know. That silly thing from the TV show might work, might do something good in your life.
And just also, choose the right TV
just
show.
Just choose the right TV show. But also, just being mindful of who you're talking with, who you're speaking with, who you're communicating with, and being intentional to speak that life into somebody that God values. And you should value them the same.
Absolutely. That is great. That is great. Ashley, anything?
So I would just echo a little bit what Adam said. I like to be sarcastic, but again, you have to know who you are and what level you can get to and who you're talking to and whether or not they're able to handle what you're going to say. And so, but sometimes humor can be a really good way to have conversations as long as that person can receive it. That, you know, kind of breaks up the routine or allows you to experience that conversation with a little less like tense emotion. So humor can be super helpful, and it's kind of like breaking that habit, like I've already said. And then also, like, go into the conversation asking yourself, how do I want this person to feel when this conversation is over? And that, you know, hopefully will give you the ability to be like, I should be speaking life into this person. And then I would just lastly add, Toby Mac has a song called Speak Life. And so if you need a reminder throughout the week, I'd recommend listening to that song. It's fun and catchy. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Anything else, Rachel?
I'm good.
She's out of words. She's run out of words. Well, hey, I want you to know we love you. I just believe that our ability to communicate is so important. And it's something we can all grow in. None of us are experts. And next week, we're going to touch on conflict. And you'll find out that conflict and communication, we got to learn how to communicate through conflict. And so we're going to have a great conversation. If there are things regarding conflict that you're like going, hey, can we touch on this idea or this idea, please put it on a communication card, place it on the back table. We just want to make sure that we're helping provide for you some biblical ideas on how to do this stuff. And just so you know, God wants us to be great communicators. And it's His grace that helps us re-script. It's His grace that helps us actually have the conversations that are life-giving. And our God is not done with us yet. And if you feel you're not good enough, I want you to know His grace is more than enough. I want you to know that there is hope for every relationship. There's hope for every individual because of His grace. And we want to continue to lean into His goodness. So as we get ready, let's just bow our heads to pray as we get ready to close. Father, You're so good to us and faithful. We thank You for Your word. And thank You for this conversation just around communication. And Lord, I know we've gone over a lot of stuff. And God, I just ask that Your grace would help us. Help us identify that next step that we can do to improve and help us communicate better. Father, I speak blessing over every individual here. Father, I pray Your grace would touch and transform hearts. Lord, You see the ways we've been shaped by words that have been spoken to us through the past. Lord, some words that have built us up, there are other words that we continue to wrestle against. And God, I just ask that Your love and grace would begin to heal and mend our hearts. God, may we be better communicators for Your glory. Lord, I pray that You would bless families that are represented here and spouses and parents and kids. And God, as we go into the workplace and in our community, Lord, would You help us be better communicators for Your glory and honor. Lord, thank You for our time together. I speak blessing on Your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to know we love you. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you, give you peace. Go in and strengthen His might. Hug a few necks on the way out, and we'll see you all next week. God bless.
Good job.